Well, the national U.S. holiday of Thanksgiving is quickly approaching us. Thanksgiving is a time where we pause and we take an inventory of our blessings and we acknowledge the Almighty God for the great blessings that He has given to us. The centerpiece of Thanksgiving celebrations revolves around the Thanksgiving meal. You know, some of us like to have Thanksgiving meal for lunchtime. Others of us have it at dinner time. Everybody's got their own family customs. But that centerpiece for Thanksgiving really revolves around that Thanksgiving meal. Traditional Thanksgiving meals revolve around foods that are indigenous to the United States, things that we grow and produce here. Things like mashed potatoes and sweet potatoes and green beans or green bean casseroles, which I love so much. Pumpkins. You know, we have a lot of pumpkins here in America, and of course we make them sweet. We make them into pumpkin pie. Cranberries. I see a lot of people starting to lick their lips here. I love homemade, you know, I love fresh cranberries. There's some folks in my family that like the canned cranberries. I can't figure out why, but we've got to have both. I love the fresh cranberries. They are so good. And of course, the very centerpiece of the Thanksgiving meal is always that holiday bird, that turkey. So some of us like to roast our turkey, brine it, inject it. Some of us like to get creative and maybe grill it or smoke it. I love to smoke a good turkey. Some of us like to prepare our turkey the very healthy way by deep frying the turkey. It's very delicious, but it isn't the most healthy way to prepare that holiday bird. So we've all got our customs around Thanksgiving. Well, some recent Thanksgiving customs that have popped up in kind of modern day celebrations of Thanksgiving are things like watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade on TV. You know, a lot of people always got to tune in and watch that Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. I like tuning in from time to time and watching the presidential turkey pardoning that takes place on Thanksgiving, where they bring a turkey out to the White House, and of course the president's got the power to pardon, right? So he pardons one bird, one turkey, and saves him from the butchering block on Thanksgiving. That's kind of a fun little event to watch. Over recent years, I've seen this grow over the years. This is a modern day custom for Thanksgiving, which is watching NFL football games. That has become very popular, where people watch football on Thanksgiving Day, watch their favorite team play football. And of course, what is Thanksgiving now without Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving? So Black Friday takes place part of the Thanksgiving kind of holiday weekend now. So Black Friday, these are recent customs that have developed over the years surrounding this celebration of Thanksgiving, this national holiday. But these recent customs aren't the way that Thanksgiving originally started. Abraham Lincoln made a proclamation back in 1863. On October 3rd, 1863, Abraham Lincoln made the Thanksgiving Proclamation, and he made it during the American Civil War. The Civil War was going on during 1863, and he set aside the last Thursday of November, the last Thursday of every November, every year annually, as a day of, quoting Abraham Lincoln, a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. So Abraham Lincoln encouraged Americans to come together and to acknowledge the blessings that we have and acknowledge that they come from our Father who dwells in the heavens. So he gave this Thanksgiving proclamation. I want to read just a few sentences from Lincoln's Thanksgiving proclamation, because it's beautifully written and it really highlights how much we've changed from 1863 to 2023. So let me read just a few sentences here from Abraham Lincoln's very beautifully, eloquently put Thanksgiving proclamation. So he says, Abraham Lincoln, quote, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. So Abraham Lincoln says, we are just so used to receiving these fields that give us bountiful fruit and wealth and skies that bring us sunlight when we need sunlight and rain in due season. We constantly enjoy these things, but we are prone to forget the source from which they come. He continues on, he says, others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. So he says we can become insensible, we become desensitized habitually to these wonderful blessings that we're just so used to as Americans. So he says we are prone to forget. And it's just so beautifully written. You know, it makes me wish we had presidents that would speak like this today. They speak so differently today. Let me read just a couple more sentences of this. It's very beautifully written. And Lincoln continues. He says, no human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God. And it has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. What a beautiful Thanksgiving proclamation by Abraham Lincoln. So he wrote this in 1863, which was in the middle of the American Civil War. I think that's something we should know. He makes this proclamation during a very bloody, difficult, stressful time in American history. Historians estimate that by the fall of 1863, and they don't have these figures exact, but they estimate that there are somewhere between 500 to 600,000 men that had died in the Civil War by this point in time. So over at least a half a million men from the North, from the Union, from the South, from the Confederacy. They were fighting, they were divided, the whole country was grieving. And Abraham Lincoln pauses and he says, we're gonna stop and we're gonna count our blessings, the blessings that we have, and we're going to acknowledge that they come from the Almighty God, our Creator. Very beautiful Thanksgiving proclamation made by Abraham Lincoln. So here we are in 2023, 160 years later from the time Abraham Lincoln made this proclamation. Have we, as Americans, have we been prone to forget the source of our blessings? Have we forgotten how to be thankful? And have we forgotten God as an American people? Was Abraham Lincoln correct? Are we as Americans prone to forget the source of our blessings? So I've entitled the message, as we close in on Thanksgiving Day, I've entitled the message, Remember the Source of Our Blessings. Remember the source of our blessings. We have so many blessings here in this country that we enjoy. And we can always remember that our blessings come from Almighty God, our Creator. So remember the source of our blessings as we close in here on Thanksgiving Day. Let's start by going to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and let's go to verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and let's go to verse 10. And we'll begin here as we take a look at remembering the source of our blessings. And as we read through Deuteronomy here, I can't help but draw similarities between Abraham Lincoln's proclamation of thanksgiving to the American people and Moses' words to the children of Israel. And I don't know, maybe Abraham Lincoln was inspired by some of these scriptures. That I don't know. But we will recognize some very similar themes here as Moses addresses the children of Israel. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and let's go to verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and let's go to verse 10. Moses says, "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you." So he says, when you've eaten, when you're full, when you're satisfied, make sure you bless the Lord your God. Thank him for that good land that we enjoy, those beautiful bounties that we enjoy. Verse 11, he continues on. He says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God." Don't be prone to forget. Moses says, "Do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today." Verse 12, "Lest when you have eaten and are full and you've built beautiful houses and you dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied, you become wealthy and all that you have is multiplied." Verse 14, "Then your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage." Verse 15, "Who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents, scorpions, and a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock." Verse 16, "Who fed you in the wilderness with manna." What a blessing. "Which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end." You know, and God is always concerned about our good in the end. Verse 17, "Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this strength." He says, don't start to think that somehow you have earned the wealth that you have accumulated. It comes from God. Verse 18, continuing on, he says, "And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." You know, he gives us the strength to work hard. He gives us the ability to be diligent and to work hard and to be successful, that he might establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Verse 19, "Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." So here Moses admonishes the children of Israel. Hey, when you get into the promised land and you have these beautiful bounties, this wealth, you're dwelling in your houses, you got a roof over your head, you got a bed to sleep in, and you got your feet kicked up, remember where your blessings come from. Remember that it's God that gives you the strength to be able to earn that living. God is the source of our blessings and our strength. But he says we are prone to forget. He says, don't forget. And Moses hits on it a couple times here, because we as human beings, we can be prone to forget. You know, it's our human nature. Our human default reaction when we get something good is to be unthankful. It's our natural default reaction. Thankfulness is something we must really concentrate on and be conscious and aware of. A grateful heart is actually very rare. A grateful heart is rare. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, and let's go to verse 11. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, and let's go to verse 11. Here we see the example of the 10 lepers who are healed by Jesus Christ. And this is a great example of how easy it is to receive something good and just go along our merry way. A gracious, grateful heart is truly a very rare thing when it comes to our own human nature. Let's go to Luke chapter 17, and let's go to verse 11. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, Let's take a look at the example of the 10 lepers that Jesus Christ heals. Luke 17, and let's go to verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So Jesus Christ is passing through Samaria and Galilee. In verse 12, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. So these lepers were standing afar off. They were isolated. You know, when you contracted leprosy during the time of Christ, it was a very isolating disease. You know, it was a very difficult physical disease because it would eat away at your flesh and at your limbs. But in addition to the physical difficulties of leprosy, there was the isolation. You were separated from your family. You weren't, if you were the provider for the household, you couldn't provide anymore. It was very isolating. You really lost your strength, your wealth, your family, your friends, as well as being physically afflicted by this terrible disease of leprosy. And so these men stood afar off in verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You know, these men were suffering and they said, "Christ, please have mercy on us. We want our lives back, the lives we had before we contracted this terrible disease of leprosy." So they say, "Have mercy on us." Verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Just a very simple answer he gives them. Go show yourselves to the priests. And that's what you do when you're going to prove to the priests that you've been cleansed. So this was a great answer. He says, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. So on the way, they look at one another, they look at themselves, and all of a sudden they've changed from being as white as snow to having healthy skin, being physically healed. You know, they must have been white. You remember the scripture tells us about Gehazi. You remember when Gehazi had Naaman's leprosy placed upon him because of his greed? And the scripture says he became as white as snow. So these men are white as snow. And then on the walk, must have been a great walk, a joyful walk. They are healed. They look at each other. They look at themselves. And they are healed. And so verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God, glorified Jesus Christ, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So this Samaritan man falls down before Jesus Christ, and he's not quiet about it. He's loud, and he thanks God, and he glorifies God. When we thank God for the good things that he gives to us, that is glorifying our Creator. He glorifies God, and he was a Samaritan. In verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, the Samaritan? Verse 19, and he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." So he had faith. They all had faith. They were healed. But 1 out of 10, a Samaritan, returns and thanks God for that great gift that he had received. Well, the account of the 10 lepers really exposes the sorrowful reality of personal ingratitude to God. Have we ever called out for help? Have we ever gotten down on our knees in prayer, asked God for help, gone forward in faith, knowing that God can heal us and intervene in our lives, received God's blessings only to happily go along our way? I mean, I I can say that I've probably been guilty of this myself. It's a natural default human reaction. A grateful heart is truly rare. And here we see with these 10 lepers, there's only one man that returns to glorify God. This passage illustrates that a grateful heart is a discerning heart. A grateful heart is also very humble. And a grateful heart is most certainly very rare, 1 out of 10. And so we strive to be very conscious of the blessings that we have, that God has given to us, and to acknowledge those good things and to thank God and glorify Him. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to read it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it reads this: "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, unthankful, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of men or lovers of God." So in these last days, in these perilous times, men will be lovers of themselves and very unthankful, lovers of money. I remember many years ago, well, not that many years ago, there was a very famous American boxer, and his name was Floyd Mayweather Jr. Floyd Mayweather Jr. He was an American boxer, just incredibly talented. He was so fast. His defenses were so good, no one could hit him. He was such a talented boxer. He named himself Floyd Money Mayweather. He went by the name Money. Floyd Money Mayweather. And he did have a lot of money. When these guys would fight, these very successful boxers, I think they would make like millions of dollars. It didn't matter if they won or lost. They would win millions in a single night of boxing. So Floyd Money Mayweather most certainly was very rich and successful. And he made no qualms about the fact that he loved money. He would burn money publicly. He would take a $100 bill and take a flame, and he would burn a $100 bill to show that I am so rich, I am so successful, that I can burn a $100 bill. Well, Floyd Money Mayweather certainly was a lover of money. He was unthankful. He didn't acknowledge that God's the one that gave him the strength to have those skills to be the boxer that he became. He was a lover of money, and he was very unthankful. But these are the times that we live in. We live in perilous times. We live in end times. Our modern world increasingly pushes us not to focus on the good that we have, but on the things that we don't have and the things that we want. That's our modern culture. You know, politicians do this all the time. You know, we've got an election year coming up, and all these ads are going to start circulating, which we all dread. But you'll notice this with politicians. They'll say, "Hey, you know, I can make things better for you. You deserve better than what you've got right now. And if you vote for me, I will make things right. I'll get you what you deserve because you deserve it." Politicians are great at this. Businesses do the same thing. They invest tremendous amounts of money into advertising, branding, marketing, to say that you owe it to yourself to get version 2.0 of our merchandise, because version 1.0 is outdated and you need version 2.0, and you owe it to yourself to get version 2.0 of whatever product it may be. In this society, we are manipulated to not be happy with what we have, but to want what we don't have, because we're bombarded with it all the time on TV, on media. We are manipulated in this culture that we live in. And so Thanksgiving Day really is a day where we focus on the things that we have and being content and being thankful and thanking God for the source of all the things that we have. But the day after Thanksgiving is known as Black Friday, and it abandons this concept of contentment and thankfulness, And it focuses on the things that we don't have and we want. So it's not without a sense of irony. You've got Thanksgiving followed up with Black Friday. Well, the term Black Friday got its name from retailers because that's the day they make their largest profits during the holiday season. So profits put retailers back in the black. That's where it got this name, Black Friday. So they run, you know, the department stores, the retailers, they run at a deficit all year long. They're running in the red. But by the time they get to the holiday season, they finally get into the black. So it's called Black Friday. So they really want to get consumers into the stores during the holiday season because it puts them back in the black. Well, every year I've watched this kind of modern custom for Thanksgiving progress. And every year on Black Friday, it seems like the stores would open just a little bit earlier. You know, they'd open at 8, and then they'd open at 7, and then the next year they'd open at 6, and then at 5, and then pretty soon people are camping out on Thanksgiving night on the sidewalk, ready to hit those stores first thing in the wee hours of the morning. Well, fights and chaos have taken place during Black Friday. In various locations, reports of fights breaking out among shoppers have occurred on Black Friday. These incidents are often attributed to the intense competition for limited sale items and the heightened emotions of the crowded shopping environment. So maybe the retailers say, well, I've only got 50 TVs at this price. And the first 50, of course, can get those TVs at that price. And it brings about a tremendous amount of chaos and aggressiveness between shoppers. And of course, these examples of fights and chaos over the years have caused retailers to beef up security. They've offered staggered start times. And of course, they try to emphasize more online sales to prevent such high traffic events from turning chaotic. Well, Thanksgiving Day is a day that focuses on contentment and gratitude, while Black Friday focuses on discontent and obtaining the things that we don't have. You know, it is our human nature to take our blessings for granted and to focus instead on the things that we wish we had. You don't have to turn there, but in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, "The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing." You know, the physical desires that we want will never be truly satisfied. Doesn't matter how much we obtain or get, we'll never be satisfied for any length of time. It's like drinking a glass of water. I mean, you drink a glass of water and it satisfies you for about 30 minutes, maybe an hour. And then what happens? We become thirsty again because it's a physical satisfaction. It only lasts a very short period of time. And so contentment is not achieved by accumulating our wants, but rather from subtracting from our desires. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's go to verse 6. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's go to verse 6. Contentment is not achieved from accumulating our wants, but rather from subtracting from our desires. And of course, contentment produces this fruit of gratitude and thankfulness. When we're content and we're happy with the things that we got and we're focusing on the good that we have fruits of thankfulness. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's go to verse 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." Godliness with contentment is great gain. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." You know, they've got that saying, "He who dies with the most toys wins," I think. I haven't heard it in a long time. But that's just not true. We're not taking any of those toys with us. There's no physical toy, there's no physical thing that we are going to take with us beyond the grave. Now, spiritually speaking, there are spiritual things that we can take with us beyond the grave. But there's no physical thing that we're going to take with us. We can carry nothing out. Verse 8, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Verse 9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So we focus on contentment as God's people. We focus on being content with the good things that we have. You know, I like to listen to my music on a program called Pandora. And Pandora is like a streaming service. You can get it on your phone, you can get it on your TV, you can get it on your laptop. And I like to listen to Pandora. So there's an artist that comes up on my Pandora. Her name is Sheryl Crow. And she's got this upbeat song. It's called Soak Up the Sun. She's kind of a happy, upbeat song. So I put my thumbs up on the song Soak Up the Sun when it comes on my Pandora. So I want to read four verses from this song, Soak Up the Sun by Sheryl Crow. She says, I don't have digital, I don't have diddly squat. She's talking about digital TV. She's like broke. She says, I don't have digital, I don't have diddly squat. Then she says, it's not having what you want, it's wanting what you've got. So she says, it's not about getting the things that you want. It's not about that. That's never going to really satisfy you for any length of time. The focus is about wanting what you've got, like looking at the things that you have and being thankful and content with the things that you have. So she says, I don't have digital, I don't have diddly squat. And I'm guessing she wrote that when she was poor, like a poor musician, because she's not poor anymore. She's very successful. But she says, it's not having what you want, it's wanting what you've got. So I'm going to have to listen to that song again on the way home, maybe. So she's got some good lyrics there in this song, Soak Up the Sun. Let's go to Psalms chapter 103. Let's go to Psalms chapter 103. But we can be, as human beings, we can be so forgetful. Like Abraham Lincoln said, we can be prone to forget, you know, these beautiful bounties that we're all so used to just habitually getting constantly, as Abraham Lincoln said. We can be prone to forget the source from which they come. And David talks about this as well. David was very blessed. He followed God with all of his heart. He was a successful king. God blessed him greatly. And he says, remember. He says, remember. Let's go to Psalms chapter 103 and let's go to verse 1. Psalms chapter 103 and verse 1, David says this. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. In verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He says, don't forget God's blessings. And King David had a lot of blessings, but he knew that his blessings came from God, that his strength came from God, giving him strength. He didn't defeat Goliath because he was stronger than Goliath. He defeated Goliath because God gave him that strength. And he says, don't forget God's blessings. He gives us that strength to obtain the good things that we have. So he says, forget not all his benefits. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I went to my uncle. My uncle took myself when I was a teenager and my cousins down to San Diego, and then he took us into Tijuana to go shopping in Tijuana. And this was a long time ago. We didn't have passports or anything. The border was much different back then. And he took us into Tijuana, and it was a very eye-opening experience for me as a young person. And it was me and my cousins, and we went over there, and we were looking around Tijuana and shopping. And I started to realize, wow, this is a much different country than the country I just came out of. And I remember the roads were in disarray. The infrastructure was very impoverished. What really stuck out to me was within a very short period of time, we started to have little kids follow us around. I mean, like 4, 5, 6-year-old little kids. And they would follow us around and beg for money in Spanish. And they would just follow you around. And I'm thinking, where are your parents at? But they would follow us around begging for money. And it was sad. It was sad to see it. And it was a big eye-opener for me as a teenager. When I came back into the United States, as we came back into San Diego, I started to have a different perspective. And I realized, you know what? We've got a lot of blessings here that we can sometimes take for granted, because not all of the world lives this way. And so I developed a new perspective, and I appreciated the blessings that we have here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's go to verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let's go to verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Very short scriptures here. Paul says, rejoice always. He says, pray without ceasing. And in verse 18, he says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So he says, in everything give thanks. And we strive to do this. When times are good in our life, God is awesome, and we give him thanks. If times are bad in our life, God is still awesome, and we still give him thanks. It really doesn't matter what's happening in our life in that particular moment. God is always worthy of our praise. This verse declares that the refreshing outcomes produced from choosing attitudes of thankfulness. When we are grateful, our disposition changes, and we begin to rejoice. We begin to rejoice. Thankfulness produces praise towards God, and in everything, we give thanks. You know, sometimes it can be easier to give thanks when times are good, but we as Christians, we give thanks always. Whether we have times of trial or times of blessings, God is always good. You know, Abraham Lincoln issued the Thanksgiving Proclamation in the very midst of a bloody civil war. Americans were grieving. They were very divided. There had been a tremendous loss of life. And yet Abraham Lincoln pauses during this time of great stress and difficulty for the whole country. And he pauses and says, we are going to take an inventory of the good things that we have, and we're going to praise God Almighty. He praised God in everything, good times or bad times. Well, as we prepare for this Thanksgiving holiday, this national holiday this week, as we prepare to spend time with our family, our friends, as we prepare to go to the grocery store and get that shopping list, probably tomorrow, if you put it off like I have, to make our favorite Thanksgiving dishes, let's remember that this is a time where we come together and thank God for the strength and the blessings that he gives to us. Let's remember that a grateful heart truly is rare. 1 out of the 10 lepers returned to give glory to God and to give him thanks for the miracle that they received. We as human beings, we can be prone to forget where our blessings come from. And so we consciously make an effort to be gracious to our Creator and to acknowledge him. Let's resist the messages of the culture that we live in, the message of constantly wanting more in our lives. Contentment is not achieved by accumulating our wants, but rather from subtracting from our desires. Contentment is great gain, and it produces the fruit of gratitude. So as we prepare for this national holiday and we prepare our turkeys and our birds for this week, as we take an inventory of the good things that we have, let's glorify our Creator by remembering the source of our blessings.
Thank you, Michael. I will extend a happy Thanksgiving to all of you, from my family to yours.